really negative experience for anyone.
It's like a state of survival.
And just imagine, if you're always trying to survive, what's really happening to you? What's really happening inside your body? So in one of the examples that I went through when I did one of my programs in psychology, we talked about being in fight or flight mode when you eat. So imagine now your central nervous system, when it's stressed and puts yourself into fight or flight mode, it's not saying like, oh, I'm stressed because of something that happened at work. It just knows stress. So if we go back to like prehistoric ways of how that worked, imagine your body or your central nervous system thinks you're being chased by a lion. So you're trying to escape this lion, all the blood's in your extremities so you can run faster, you're breathing hard, and that's how you're living your life all the time. So then take yourself to something like eating. And I think that Brian can really relate to this. Eating on the go in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right? Yeah. And especially working in the oil patch, it's very easy to access, I guess, unhealthy foods and it be totally free. And there's nothing really putting itself in front of you to kind of make you think about that. It's very much an internal compass that can be overridden by walking in saying, bang, yep, I'm taking it. I'm out. I got to work in like 10 minutes. Let's go. It just becomes this unconscious state of mind where you just fuel in, got to go. It's not to say that there isn't an opportunity to think about it and do it. I just consciously said, screw it. I'm doing the wrong thing.
I think so many people do. I mean, not just us here. I mean, people everywhere around the world have this same issue and they're always rushing to get that food in. So if you're eating under that stress and you're eating while you're driving, you're eating while you're walking, talking, doing a meeting, writing a report, and just getting the food in as quickly as you can, your body hasn't had the time to set up for the digestive process. So your body's still in fight or flight. It's still trying to save you from the, you know, fictional lion that's coming after you. So your body isn't set up. That means the hormones aren't in your stomach. The saliva that needs to break down the food's not there. And so now you're not really eating and getting the same benefits because your body's under stress. You're not digesting it properly. You're going to get heartburn. You're going to get indigestion. You may even gain weight because your body's not coping with the food that it put in. So a good tip that I've learned is just taking 2 minutes to think about what you're doing. You know, and I mean, we all have an aunt or a grandma or a mom who said, chew your food 100 times. They actually said it for a reason. They may have not known, right? They may not know why they told us to do that. But the fact is, the more saliva that gets happening, then your brain tells your stomach to release hormones and things start to happen and you start to break down that food. And then the digestive system is working. So I challenge you to, you as in the listener, anyone, just to try this out. Try this out before you eat. Take that 2 minutes to think about the food, you know, breathe it in, taste it.
Even a little tip kind of on top of that, drink a glass of water. It's amazing before you have a meal, that water will kind of start to expand your stomach and initiate the process of like, oh, something's coming in.
Something's happening. And get yourself out of the full-on stress mode. And I mean, there's so much bad things that can happen from stress. So many bad things. Just, you can get diabetes, you can get high blood pressure, you can have insomnia or sleep disorders, you can become depressed. They just all build up and connect. And it's so important to try to deal with that stress. And there's many other ways, obviously the support system too, but one is just taking the time to think about your food, think about your eating. And again, and we've talked about it every week, is finding that support system, somebody who's going to hear what your problem is.
100%. And you really got to have, I know we've talked about this before, even when you do seek professional help and you do talk to your doctor about it, they can only operate under the data they're given. So if you're going to give them a BS story, what else other leg did they have to stand on other than to treat what they believe to be the truth is? So it's so important to allow yourself to open up, be vulnerable, be honest, and continue to try. And honestly, if there's something about the doctor or the psychologist or the psychiatrist that just doesn't gel, there's options. You can always go and try another one until it feels right. Don't ever feel boxed or like there's not just one answer to this whole thing. It's about continuing to get on the horse. I'm to this day living example of failing and getting back on the horse time and again. I really believe it's the more times you get used to being getting back on the horse that you're going to start to see the success when it does click. You got to make it natural to just slip right back into what you were doing, the routine that you've built. So to kind of digress back to talking about interfacing with a doctor and professional help, keep trying. Honestly, it's there's no shame in saying this, there's something about this that isn't working. Let's explore another option. In the age of Zoom, especially, there are options across the country. So we can literally connect with people far and wide across the country. And so there's never been more availability to the access to help, like true honest help, than ever before.
And it's something the Zoom realm has really changed things for people in more remote areas. So we're in a remote area, we're up in the north, and it really has made a difference because all of a sudden now, instead of having to travel to Vancouver, Edmonton, or Calgary, you can have those initial consults and meetings and start the process. I'm not saying you're going to get away with the travel, but you can start the process, and it does make a significant difference. For me, I let stress build up in my body to migraines, and I was having, you know, 3 to 5 migraines every day. And this,
where would you feel the most?
Right in the back of my head.
Okay.
So that's where, and I knew if it was in my neck and the back of my head, I could tell you the day before it was going to happen.
Oh, wow.
So I could feel that tension building up. And so that's just the cortisol starting to build up. And I mean, obviously there's other reasons that you have migraines, but I learned that this was one of the main triggers for me, too much stress. So the other reason I have migraines, and this happened a lot in Calgary, is when they get the Chinook. It's brutal. It was like day before the Chinook hit, it was like, okay, I'm having a migraine tomorrow and it's going to be +25.
So maybe we should explain what that is for someone who might not be as familiar with what a Chinook wind.
Well, I don't know it just warms up.
Okay, so yeah, it's a wind that'll come off of the mountains that's a totally different temperature, which kind of messes with barometric pressure. So our bodies are very sensitive to barometric pressure. And typically, when there's a low pressure system, it changes the way the blood flows in your body. So it will oftentimes make you a little more sluggish, lethargic. And so one of the tips I found out to kind of help with that is lemon tea. So if the pressure drops, if it's rainy outside, a little bit of lemon tea might just give you a little bit of pep in your step, just a little.
That's one of the things I've added in for the migraine regimen. And that came to me from a neurologist. And so
cool. I didn't even know that.
The other things that the neurologist suggested was adding B2 and magnesium into the realm. So adding those vitamins at pretty high volumes. And then now, again, go talk to your doctor about it and let them make the recommendation. But know that there is alternatives. And I'm not saying that never do I need the migraine treatment, because it does help and there's times that you need it. But if you're kind of aware what's causing it. For a long time, I wasn't aware. I was like, oh, maybe I have a tumor, or maybe there's something, there's something else that
it's
I can't.
It's like grandeur, right?
Right?
It's like ultra bad.
Ultra bad outside thing. But when I finally learned that it was my own thoughts and my own head causing it, it was kind of a wake up call for me, because I would have never considered myself as a person who suffered from.
That must have been a little bit liberating at the same time, because you now realize it's in the realm of something you can control.
Right. And right. just, and, but I mean, I wouldn't have considered myself, oh, I suffer from something connected to mental illness. And that's the key here. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is your migraine can be that. It can be connected to stress or some other factor. And it's all about how we interpret the world. And Brian, you gave a good example when we were talking this morning about interpretation. You want to maybe talk a little bit about that? You talked about, you know, seeing it from this way and not, and how you perceive it.
Oh, yes. So Gabor Mate actually touched upon this, this Buddhist teaching that the world creates your perception, and your perception creates your world. And so that inversely will make something that you can interrupt and do something about once you kind of unlock the ability to see it that way. So in order to gain a new perspective, it's important to change, one, the world that you're in, or let's say the environment. So if you're in a toxic environment, living in the center of a crack house, enlightenment ain't gonna come too easily, right? So it's very important to think about the facts of what you're in and consider, what do I need to get to the next step? So you need the ability to even perceive things differently. You need an environment that's very conducive to that. And that's where I recommend reach out to the professionals for sure. That's going to be.
And it's kind of interesting that you brought that up, you know, like you're in the middle of a crack house, you can't get out of it. But you have to remember, if you have chosen the path of drugs and alcohol, there was probably an underlying cause. Mm-hmm. It didn't just wake up one day and decide, I want to be an addict or I want to be an alcoholic. There's probably a cause there. And if you can get to the root of whatever that cause was that made you cross that line, or made you go into a realm that you never intended to go in, then you can actually get to the root of the problem and fix the problem. And Brian said it earlier this morning before the show, is just showing your vulnerability. Mm-hmm. If you're not prepared to be vulnerable and really tell your whole story from your heart, then you're not ready to move forward.
That's right. And one little step about the addiction conversation. Gabor Mate honestly highlights this in his book, In the Realm of Hungry Ghosts. Highly recommend a read. Takes you into that mindset of the addict and says, why the hurt? Not why the addiction, but why the hurt? Where did that come from? Just like you said, that you got to really think about the root of the problem versus the symptom. And the other part of that vulnerability was when I was getting into our wonderful gift to this world, Brené Brown, she definitely had a lot to say and educate the people of this world about how important it is to even get to the first step about any type of change in your life, that you've got to allow yourself to become vulnerable. So that concept of take down the wall and be willing to be hurt. Just for a second, just imagine that that's the first kind of gate to pass through in order to even open your mind to being changed. Because until that, the walls are going to be permanently up. The walls are permanently going to be closed, and you'll be kind of stuck in this narrow-minded tunnel. Until that happens.
And when Brian says take down the walls, he doesn't mean you need to go in the middle of the mall and yell it from the rooftop that you're vulnerable right. and you're hurt. I mean, find a safe place, be hurt with a group you feel comfortable with and you know are not going to try to hurt you further.
Good point. Like, yeah, you're right. It shouldn't be, oh my God, I'm vulnerable, check me out kind of thing. That you will get hurt for sure. Maybe ways you might not imagine. So good save on.
Yeah,
on
and again, part. Like you don't need to, I mean, and you'll see some people do. Some people will post everything that crossed their mind on social media and it just spirals into something greater. Mm-hmm. I don't think that person, this is just an opinion, I don't think that person's ready to be vulnerable. It's like they want more fuel for it. So make sure you're using a good space for that vulnerability.
And again, seek professional help. If nothing else, we'll provide you with some healthy alternatives and answers for exactly that. And there's no shame in having a counselor start the journey. Honestly, that's, I can't drive that home enough. I know it's preachy, I know it's the same thing, but if you're going to allow yourself to imagine that you can do better, you have to open your mind to the possibility that we can't always do it ourselves.
So Brian, what's your, in your world, and I know we've talked about it, you get stressed and we both do, but what's your stressor? What's the things in your world that get you worked up? And even if you don't notice it right away, but when you reflect, you know, that's my stress.
Oh, I turn on the news. That's like, it's almost like when you're asked to give negatives about something, that it's real easy. There's this laundry list that appears before you.
And Brian and I talked about that this morning. If you're someone who's really, your energy and your stress levels affected by the outside world, and you watch the news every morning, and I'm not saying don't watch the news, but if you watch the news every morning and you learn about the fire and you learn about murder and you learn about the stock market or whatever, and it's all these things that seem like they're, the world is falling. And if you can't get yourself out of that mindset, you just created your perspective for the entire day. So you put this stress in your body that you didn't even know was there. So sometimes if you're doing that, you've got to try to flip it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not saying don't watch the news. Watch the news, definitely. You know, see what's happening, but then spend that time to reflect on what's happening that's positive too.
Well, there's this concept that's very strong in any psychology, and it's the concept of reframing thoughts. It's the idea that, okay, this is happening. I get that. Warranted, there is sometimes a response that is allowed. So someone endangers a loved one. It is perceived and allowed to be that you can like stop that.
Well, you should go into, that's when the fight or flight mode is, that's when it's designed to work,
right?
Because you are in protection mode, protect yourself, protect your child, protect your loved one.
But sometimes that goes beyond acceptable realms. It mm-hmm. goes into this whole, I'm going to respond that way to everyone. I don't like your opinion, F you, F this, blah, blah, blah. And then you get this like hardened edge and you become that negativity. So it's really perceiving and reframing and saying, okay, I get it. We have different opinions. I respect that. Now, maybe this is a way we can stop and communicate with each other and just educate ourselves as to why you feel that way,
mm-hmm.
which tends to yield much better fruit when you're able to come into a situation with a reframed thought or being vulnerable and open-minded enough to say, I'm willing to listen to what you've got to say, at least.
Mm-hmm.
At bare minimum, communication is going to start something. And it doesn't always get better right out of the gate, for sure. But the willingness to kind of pass through those uncomfortable moments, having those uncomfortable conversations, seeing eye to eye in an uncomfortable way, is how we're going to resolve things, at least find some sort of compromise and have the ability to move forward with something. So I've tried to tie in everything we kind of talked about.
Definitely. And I'll give an example. My dad, again, he's passed away, but my dad was an overthinker, a stressor, a negative thinker. And I came to a point a couple years ago and I said, Dad, I can't sit here and talk to you. And he said, why? This is what we do. We mm-hmm. have 4-hour coffees and we fix all the world's problems, right? You know, the situation I'm talking about, but he never talked about anything positive. It was always like, well, this is happening. This is happening. This is happening. And it was always a negative spin on it.
Mm.
And I told him, you know, and it was pretty uncomfortable for me because it was my
dad. How young were you when you noticed that?
When I noticed he was the negative spinner,
mm-hmm.
12 or 13. Oh,
wow. So for a long period of your time, this has been the reality.
This is, okay. And so I learned to either reframe what he was saying and say, okay, but I always believe I believe in manifestation. I believe mm-hmm. you get the world you want. And if you're always saying negative, this is not going to work out. You're right. It's not going to work out because you're not doing the extra work, or you're not taking the path to make it work versus.
There's a term for that. Sorry to interrupt, but
that's okay.
It's called prophetic fallacy. So if you perceive that that failure is going to be imminent.
It's imminent.
Guaranteed.
It's imminent. And that's what I grew up around. So there was a period that I said, well, I can't talk to you. And as soon as he'd shift the conversation negative, I'd back out of the conversation, have to go do other work, whatever it might be. But there was a point, you know, and I got him to realize it. So he was a calculator guy. So he's always calculating everything, you know, and he was a construction guy and a logging guy. So he's calculating these future jobs of what he's going to do. And he's calculating. And I said, Dad, I don't think what you're doing is healthy. Like, you're so obsessed with this calculator. I think there's something, like, it's not good. And he was like, what? What do you mean? And so I stepped out of my comfort zone and his, and I called the professor from university. That was he was a doctor in psychology, tenured, very, very, wrote lots of books on things, taught all of these things. And I explained the situation to him, and he explained it back to me that there was so much stress, that stress was going to lead to depression.
Mm.
I'm not saying that it did lead to it, but that it was going to. So he, you know, he gave us tips on how to make the changes, you know, lose the calculator. Don't, because you know the answer. So I can't even give an example, but if you know your bank account has $100 in it, and the $100 needs to last 2 weeks, you don't need to look at it again in 15 minutes because it still only has $100.
Yes.
Right? If you owe somebody money and you have a debt, a $10,000 debt that you need to make payments on, if you haven't made another payment, the debt has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
So you were repeating this negative thing with the calculator into your brain.
Like mindlessly.
Mindlessly. And he was on the calculator, like my family members can attest. He would calculate, I don't know, 18 hours a day.
But seriously?
It was the same stuff.
No way.
And then he would rehash that conversation. So after I talked to this psychologist and, you know, relayed the information, because my dad was old school, he was like, I'm not doing that. And I told him and I explained it, and the professor had emailed me all this information. He dropped the calculator.
Seriously?
He left. He walked away from the calculator. I mean, we used to fill his stocking with calculators because he would break them.
That's crazy, because, like, for the viewers that don't know, like, I knew your father, and that's pretty astonishing, because I didn't even know he had this calculator issue. But that there's, like, you kind of went the right way about it, for sure. You sought professional help and got an opinion, and wow, he actually dropped
it. And he listened to that opinion. He dropped the calculator, and I mean, he would calculate when necessary, but the point I'm trying to make is that if we stay in that negative, we're only ever going to see negative. We have to, like, step out of it. We, no matter what's happening in our life, we do still have to find joy in every day.
What do you believe promoted the success of that?
How do you mean?
Like, in your situation, obviously you were part of intervening in that and communicating to him that there was an issue. What do you think also contributed to him being able to do that, to successfully put that calculator down?
I think good willpower, like, mm-hmm. He had some strong willpower, but he heard what I said, because I've had a lot of bumps in my life. But I, you know, there's situations when I took on a new project, I was like, no, this is going to be successful, Dad. And he was like, no, it's not going to be successful. I said, just wait. Because I had decided in my guts that I was going to make it work. And so I think he started to see that. He started to see that you could get yourself out of that negative stress moment. Even no matter what is happening around you, there's always a light somewhere if you look for it.
There's no better integrity to build about yourself than when you've said something and actually made it happen. And continually, when you continue to do that throughout your life, you can't help but listen to that individual speak. And there's wisdom there. And really, honestly, you got to open your channels. I know you're open to that as well by saying manifesting things into your life. There's much more layers to that I believe beyond that, because I'm a firm believer in that as well. Yeah.
And I think I have some people that I've worked with in the past that are into that and things like that. And I think at some point we'll be able to have a guest on.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm so glad.
That would be fun.
Good.
And you know, you did say something else though, is you always got to get back on the horse. Mm-hmm. And you fail and then get back on the horse. But I just want to reframe that, because I don't think you fail until mm-hmm. you quit. So as long as you get on the horse, you're trying. You haven't failed.
Okay. I like that.
And so it's when you stop getting on the horse, that's when you fail. And if we look at any person in history, in society, and you know about their successes, they don't tell you how many times they tried. Famous movie stars who didn't make it till they're 35 or 45. Totally. Yeah. It's not like they say, okay, I was starving. I had tried out for 2,000 things. I didn't get it. And then I got my break. They don't tell you that.
How many millionaires were bankrupt at some point? Like, that's for sure a common.
Right? Yeah. So we only hear about the end story. So I guess my point there is, like, you get to decide what your end story is. So you can either make it as I failed, or I kept going and I'm still going.
Reframe it and give yourself the fuel to propel into the next. Forget the horse. Get off the horse. Okay. Get on the donkey. Donkeys are much more stubborn. And
there you go. Just like the pair of us, we're pretty stubborn. And I think, you know, that leads us into coping with stress. And we've talked about it a bit, but you've all probably seen, there's been someone in the room, someone in your workplace or yourself that's pacing. And by intuitively, you know, they're pacing because they're stressed. But really what's happening is their body's trying to cope with the stress and it's moving. Mm. So we talk about movement all the time. And now you can see that people move and their body wants to move without them deciding. So they pace. So what are some other things that we can do to cope with stress, like aside from moving? So for me, it's cooking. And I mean, of course, this is a scary dance because I cook a lot of food. And if I ate all the food, like, it could be a scary dance for me. But what is something, I think I'm going to take a guess, and I don't know if I'm right, but I think Brian's a musician. And so I think probably when he's stressed, he probably directs himself towards his guitar.
Sometimes. I'd like to think that I've evolved to have many different things. But if the condition now is that sans movement and what do you do to cope with stress? So if you're kind of stuck somewhere, let's say on a bus or a plane or something, and you don't have that option of movement, well, I actually invented this thing in. It's kind of weird, but it's something I have done in history before. Dealing with super stressful things, feeling like life is just one big ball of stress, I would literally conceptualize it in my mind as a big ball of yarn. I think I've told you this.
You have. This is good. I like this.
I'll share it. It also helps you go to sleep sometimes when you're unable to close your eyes and not think about the 10,000 things that have been going on the day. So what I do is I just take this ball of yarn, okay, and you imagine this as all the events in your day. So if the entire events in the day are, you had a lot, you had a big day, then that ball of yarn is going to be huge. But you can make it whatever color, whatever thickness, whatever fuzziness, whatever. Just imagine this giant, huge ball of yarn representing the day and all of the stresses that you have in it. So when you look at a ball of yarn, you can't really see where it starts. You can't really see where it ends. It's just intertwined in this giant, chaotic ball. But you've put it into a sphere. So already you're starting to put it in a realm of control. So you take this ball of yarn and slowly you start to roll it, kind of like a snowball in reverse. You start to roll it, and then the one end finds its way at a beginning point, and you keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing until all of your thoughts, when you turn around, are one straight perceivable line. And then you can start to make sense one bit at a time your entire day. It's just an exercise to kind of meld a like a metaphorical ball of yarn into your actual day's events, and having this ability to manipulate that energy, mm-hmm. to put it into something and say, I can control how I feel about these things. I can put them in an order of that I can deal with it. Because sometimes when it's just compounded and there's too many things going on all at once, you're just like, whoa, forget it. Burn the ball of yarn.
And the other thing from my perspective that you can do is, and this was given to me by a different psychologist as just kind of a tip, is to think about the event and are you in danger today? Hmm. You know, so if it's a money financial thing, did you lose your home right now?
Right.
Is your house gone? And I know people face these things. I mean, there's people in Southern BC that are facing these things because it's happening and their house has been burned down. Mm-hmm. But try to actually see what's happening, because if it's not happened, stop projecting what's going to happen. Stop focusing on the bad tomorrow. Think tomorrow could be a brighter day. I mean, there's so much music out there about tomorrow being a better day and the sun is coming out and all these things, right? If you can get that stuff in your head too.
Every time I've tried to plan tomorrow, it's honestly, you're fooling yourself to think you're going to know 100% what's going to happen. It's just building a tool set to adapt to change is kind of the goal in the end. So to perceive tomorrow, you're going to start with the lens of, hey, something's going to go in the right direction. And if it doesn't, I'm going to make an effort, at very least, to find a way to push it back to that realm of positivity.
Push it back to the positive. And I mean, those are only the one ways of coping. But the other one, like we've said before, is the movement. And I mean, get up and walk, get up and move. In this last little while, I've been doing a new cardio exercise called Tabata, where you do cycles of things for 20 seconds and you do 8 exercises and then you repeat 8 different times. Now, when I started this, it was like death to me because I'm an asthmatic. So I was like taking my inhaler, taking all these breaks. You're only supposed to have a 1 minute break in between each set. And I was like needing like a 7 minute break.
Why do I feel like I'm being signed up for this?
I'm just saying. So this week, I'm like super proud of myself because I actually did my 2 sessions on 2 different days and I didn't stop.
Wow.
I did my session.
Okay, wait, how long is it?
Well, an hour or 40 minutes.
Okay, so it's a full hour of like intense.
Yeah, so you're doing different things. And so I have a trainer and she changes it. So like one group of intervals is going to be more cardio based and get the heart up. And then she knows I'm an asthmatic. Okay. So the next group of things, it might just be squats and bicep curls just because she knows I need to get my breathing down. But I mean, literally, and I'm wearing, you know, the watch to measure my heart rate. My heart rate's like at 160 the whole
time. Holy mackerel.
So I am using that.
A little jackhammer in there.
I'm using that organ. And I'm super proud because I actually, you know, made it happen and did it. And so that's the other thing I want to say is if you're not into movement and you're not into all these things, start small. You don't have to succeed on the first time. I have been doing this for a year.
Fair enough.
And this is the first time that it worked. Yeah. This is, and it's been a year.
It's kind of neat because that what you just said wasn't planned. As soon as you said when you're not able to use as a coping mechanism something of movement, you really got us think about it. It made me think because I was like, wait a second. That is
not on our list.
But that situation exists more times than we think. Because sometimes you're caught in an office building or something, but that's not quite an option. But
driving a truck or on an airplane.
But guess what? Overwhelming stress is sitting right there.
Right. So. And you don't get to pick when it comes to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, for me, like I said before, my other one is cooking. And if you want to keep your stress down, that kind of brings us around to our recipe section, but just being a little bit more planned. And Brian laughs at me because I tell him like, okay, you can buy meat in bulk and then divide it into bags. And he's like, you're nuts. I know he's thinking that. He's not saying, he's just thinking it. But say you go to Costco or wherever you buy your, we don't have those kind of things here. So we don't have this luxury.
Well, in defense of what you're saying, you need to get it in bulk where you can and be able to
It's true. It's true. I feed a lot of people. But it, I mean, even if it's just one person, if you buy something in a larger package, say you take a chicken breast out and you put it in 6 different bags, because that's what the package typically comes in, and change the flavors of each of those bags. So, you know, I talked to Brian about, you know, making one teriyaki, making one kind of Mexican themed, making one kind of a Hawaiian theme, a barbecue sauce theme, whatever it might be. And then you freeze it like that. Now you actually are slightly planned, because now when you pull it out of the freezer and it says it's teriyaki chicken on the bag, guess what? You are having an Asian inspired meal, and you don't have
baby
to think
corns. I love them.
Right. But you don't have to think about it. And sometimes that can change the stress, because you're not going to the grocery store in this panic going, what am I going to cook for supper?
And then going hungry.
Or yeah, going hungry, or bad. Going through the takeout drive-through and getting like some not good greasy food because you were too stressed about it. So, I mean, and then you can have some staples in your fridge. If you have rice cooked and in the fridge, or you have roasted potatoes cooked or in the fridge, or roasted yams, and then you can add it to this meat that's seasoned, it really does change things. And
cooked,
it really
cooked rice is go to. Oh, right? Man, for sure. Especially if you got kids and stuff, fried rice, you can whip out.
And you can make
anything.
It any flavor. You can
totally.
I mean, really, you
especially
can
with your pre-made chickens.
With your, and I'm not saying my chicken's cooked, because it's not cooked, but that time that it takes for it to freeze, then defrost, it is building flavor.
Oh, yeah.
And the more flavor your food has, the more you're going to enjoy it, the less you're going to cheat on yourself and go to takeout.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to eat whole foods, it's the way to do it. Ryan has a really good taco seasoning recipe, and I think maybe he'll post it, but he can give you the kind of the ingredients or what are in it. And so just imagine taking this, putting it on your meat, then having leftover rice, and now you've got a really cool dish.
So my idea is to give you many meals if I could.
Many meals.
So taco seasoning, whatever kind of meat that you choose. I prefer turkey tacos myself. This recipe works amazing with that. But you can choose beef, chicken, even ground pork. It'd be totally fine. So taco seasoning, as per some advice I received from a friend, I'm going to just hit you with the recipe in one straight shot and see if we can, I'll post this absolutely so that at least we can see it later. But if you want to hit the playback, you can at least catch it on one shot. Brian's taco seasoning. 1 tablespoon of chili powder, 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1/4 teaspoon of onion powder, 1/4 teaspoon of crushed peppers, 1/4 teaspoon of oregano, 1/2 teaspoon of paprika, 1.5 teaspoons of cumin, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of black pepper. And you throw that in a little jar, shake it up. And that's going to give you about 1 tablespoon per pound of chosen meat. And just put that in the pan, right up with it. I like to add a little bit of water with that. So when I'm cooking it, it really gets in and around all the meat. So as you reduce down, it really infuses that. But I swear to you, it's a slam dunk. I find the ones in the store, personally, a little heavy on the salt.
They're salty. They're definitely salty.
Ooh, bah. Yeah.
You know, the other thing, Ryan suggested putting water in it. So what I've done, I do a taco seasoning that's pretty similar to this. And of course, I'm cooking a bigger volume. But I use diced canned tomatoes. Instead of the water. So you impart you still get the liquid from the canned tomatoes, but then you also get the tomatoes.
Absolutely.
And my kids sometimes are like annoyed because I'm adding the vegetables into the meat. So the
How
onions.
Dare you make me eat good things.
Yeah, onions, some grated zucchini, but I just try to like fill my taco meat with whatever I can hide in the flavor because they love, I mean, really.
And I've said it before, onions for sure is like going on everything. To me, onions are the new pepper.
It's so funny. Onion is in everything, but we don't really talk about it. It's just there.
It's the like, secret ingredient.
It's like the secret ingredient. It's the hidden ingredient that we add
fine,
to everything. And I'm
top it to a dust.
Right? And I'm doing the same thing. But I mean, if you have this stuff on hand, you have the taco seasoning on hand, you have pre-marinated meat on hand, you have cooked rice on hand, all of a sudden you can see a meal coming together. And I mean, follow us on Facebook. or Instagram, and you'll see both of us post recipes of these things, of what we build together. Because I think for the most part, Brian and I do cook off the fly. Like he was talking about the bread pudding. Mm-hmm. The bread pudding got made because there was a loaf of French bread that you could like beat the wall with because it was super hard. So I bought it 2 days ago, didn't make anything with it. They never come in a sealed package, so it was dry. That's what sparked the bread pudding. So, like, it wasn't bad or anything. Like, I don't, you're not going to die. But it just, that's what sparked it.
Well, if I
it.
Died, I went straight to heaven, so we're good
straight
to
heaven, right?
For what she was saying, I do post a lot of these recipes that we do. It's Brian Bello 83 on Instagram, so at Brian Bello 83, BrianBelleAU83. Come find me, come check out these recipes. I love sharing, and I love when people give me their ideas and then I try them out. I think that's one of my favorite
things.
That's
mine.
Just get inspiration.
I love to go to restaurants.
Go
to the restaurants, we try the food, and then literally we have to go home and like cook this food because it's like
a variant, right?
Because there's always things that you kind of don't like or you can't access. And restaurants definitely have an easier access to stuff than.
But a great baseline to just sort that out. Right? Oh man, I love doing that, and I love seeing when they do fancy stuff sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
Just like, oh wow.
Me too. I have some restaurants lined up for us to try when we go to the coast, and then when we do that, then we can give some feedback on some restaurants that are really great to try.
Or restaurant inspired recipes.
Right. Copycat recipes.
The copycat.
They're the best.
Dude, I'm gonna put my burglar mask on and cook these.
Right.
Cook the copycat cooker.
The copycat cooker. There you go. That's always good. So. Last week we had a guest, Ann Jones, which was pretty cool. She talked a lot about movement and getting.
Ann Jones was so cool.
She was cool. So check her out on Facebook or Instagram if you haven't already. She was really cool, and she was just about inspiring people. She's super inspiring. She's got
That's A N N E J O N
S. Yes, and so next week we actually have another guest. Our guest is Amy Bedeen. Amy Bedeen is a recovering addict. Coming up here in September, she'll have been sober for 3 years, which is really huge. She's got a really great story to tell. And we kind of thought it was important to, showcase some people who've gone through some struggles. We want to connect with our viewers. And
I guess it's our take on Soft White Underbelly. I don't know if you've seen this YouTube channel.
I have not.
Oh, it's sobering and inspiring at the same time. They literally take addicts off of the street from LA's.
Okay.
And they just let them talk. It's amazing to see.
That's interesting.
That realm of it. And it's in black and white. And it's just like this raw encountering of all these different individuals that have been subject to some type of crazy lifestyle that's outside of our own realm. Right. Check it out, software. This is kind of our
version. And so, and we want to have stories that inspire. So Amy is a story that can inspire because she's made it 3 years, and she says she also has a page which she'll share on there. And she gives inspiration stories of other people. A cousin of hers has just hit the 1 year mark.
Oh, and, that's exciting.
And she's gone through real struggle. So
I like real world.
Real, you know, so Amy has custody of her son back.
Oh, that's awesome.
So some really big things. Oh, and now she's working in her community, helping other people find the path. And like we talked about in the very beginning of our show, it's pretty amazing to see and hear about inspiring stories. So these are guests that we know, but we're always open, and because of technology, we're always open to guests that are in other places.
Oh, please reach out. I mean, I know I've beaten this horse to death, and one time it's going to get through there, but I absolutely am looking for the people that want to reach out, tell their stories, and have something to add to our own stories and educate us in the matter. So for sure, please.
And I think that the more stories we hear, the easier it is to feel related and connected.
Yes.
So as you're listening to us and you are, sitting in that on that couch, drinking your cup of coffee or driving down the street, whatever it might be, and you're thinking, I am alone in this world. Guess what? You're not, because there's so many of us, so many people who have stories that are similar or relatable.
You're not alone right now. I'm in between your ears. You can hear me.
You can hear us. That's pretty good, Brian. That's pretty good. So I'm pretty excited to have her on. So that will be next Sunday morning. That's will be pretty great to do. And again, if there's any guests that you can see that, you know, might be great guests for us to have on.
Or recommendations. Yeah, we'll chase after these people as well, if we have to.
Do what we have to do to try to get them
lasso.
On. Lasso and trying to connect them with us.
Come talk
with us. So I don't know, is there anything else you want to add? I hope that everyone has a great week this week and can keep their stress levels down and keep moving and keep eating healthy whole foods.
And remember, hats off to those firefighters who are fighting the good fight down there. Honestly, I have a very soft spot for them because I work in communications. I program a lot of the radios that they utilize and have like a real world encountering with them. And I just see them. I'm like, man, you guys are like soldiers out there. So
they put in the hours. They put in the hours. A few summers ago when we had bad fires up here, they would go to work and then they would come and eat at my restaurant like at 10 o'clock at night. And they would eat two whole meals. Yeah, so yeah. If these guys are eating two whole meals, you know how hard they're working.
Like, absolutely. They're sleeping in tents, literally on mountainsides, and like smoke inhalation, getting toasted because they have to wear PPE on top of it. Like, I don't know. It's just virtual insanity what these individuals go through. Again, hats off to all of those protecting us from that impending doom that we see every year. But I guess that's all I have to really say this week.
Yeah, definitely. So that's a wrap for our week. And again, we'll look forward to seeing you next week. And thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.